Well, let me invite you to take your Bibles and turn with me again to the Gospel of Matthew as we continue in our journey on the Sermon on the Mount. And tonight we come to Matthew chapter 6 and verse 19 through 24. And whenever you listen to Jesus speak, His words are so concise, His words are so pointed, and His words are so crystal clear that there is no question about what He is saying. Now, sometimes we may not like to hear what He says, but He is the sovereign of the universe, and there is one thing that He knows, and that is absolutely the truth about everything that there is to know about anything. So whenever you come to the Sermon on the Mount and you listen to Jesus speak, everything He says to you and me is for, first of all, His glory and His honor and the glory of the Father, and second of all, for your best and my best. Now, sometimes when we read in the Sermon on the Mount, we think, now, that's a good idea, but I just don't know if I really want to absorb that and take that to heart. Well, can I say this? If we do not, we're the losers. We're the ones that have a blighted, painful, and difficult life. And so whenever we come to Matthew chapter 6 and verse 19, Jesus is speaking to His disciples about the warning of wealth. Now, there is nothing intrinsically wrong with money. But what we do with money, that is, if it becomes an obsession of ours, is another thing. And so I want you to listen to the words of our Lord and our Savior, beginning in verse 19 through 24. Lay not up for yourselves treasure upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. I want you to listen to it out of the Living Bible because it puts it even more pointed. Don't store up for yourselves treasure here on earth where they can erode away or may be stolen. Store them in heaven where they will never lose their value and are safe from thieves. If your profits are in heaven, your heart will be there too. If your eye is pure, there will be sunshine in your soul. But if your eye is clouded with evil thoughts and desires, you're in deep spiritual darkness. And oh, how deep that darkness can be. You cannot serve two masters, God and money. For you will hate one and love the other, or else the other way around. Now, if someone asked you what you think about the most, what would you answer, or would you even want to answer that question? Do you think about food the most? I know there are some people that have an obsession with food. They can't eat, but go just a little while, and they're obsessed with having a little more food and a little more food. And then there's some people that are obsessed with money. It's so significant to them. They live and breathe and think, get up in the morning, and money is the first thing on their mind and the last thing on their mind whenever they go to bed at night. To some people, it's something sensual or sexual. There are some people who all they think about is sex. Some people think about the sensual things in life. That's the whole gravity of what they think about. They get up thinking about a way they can hurt somebody in that way and go to bed the same way. If Jesus revealed your mind, your thinking processes, what would go through your mind? What does go through your mind the most? Scripture makes it abundantly clear that wherever our thinking is, that's where our heart is. And wherever our heart is, that's where our thinking is. And so Jesus makes it clear that, you know, the pull for wealth and riches, Jesus gives great significance and great warning to all who follow him, because here's what he knows. As a matter of fact, did you know there is more in the Bible about money than there is about heaven, than there is about hell, than there is about prayer? It's not to say it's more important, but here's what happens. It's something we face every single day of our life. And so when you listen to Jesus speaking, you know, affluence has a great potential to distort our life and to get us disoriented toward the Lord God. There are a lot of people who are saved by the grace of God, but when it comes to Jesus having their wallet, well, that's another thing altogether. If you was asked the question, true or false, does Jesus have your wallet, how would you answer? Now you say, now wait just a minute, that's my business. No, it is not your business. When you were saved and I was saved, we were bought with a price. The Lord Jesus bought the totality of our life and of our eternity. And so whenever you look at this passage of Scripture, Jesus is speaking to his disciples about the warnings of wealth, because there really are so many things that you and I need to be conscious of whenever it comes to money. Not to say that money is wrong. Having money, there's nothing wrong with having money. There is nothing intrinsically wrong with having a lot of money. But the reality of it is, a lot of people who have money and even have a lot of money, there's a point that it controls them. It's a very, very special individual who has who, when it comes to money, he knows that this money is not going to be permanent. It's fleeting and it's passing. So I want you to follow along, because in this passage of Scripture, Jesus is speaking to his disciples, giving them a warning. Now, you need to understand this. When Jesus gives a warning, it's not like you and me that it may or may not happen. You know, when Jesus gives a warning, it ought to be a big red caution sign to our lives, because he is reminding us of something that can make eternal significance and impact in our lives. Now, whenever you get to verse 19, first of all, Jesus contrasts two types of riches. Whenever you look in verse 19, Jesus declares there's two treasures. There is a person who has treasure on this earth, and then there's another person who has treasure in heaven. Now, if you want to just give a simple definition, though, well, what in the world is a treasure? A simple definition is simply this: something that somebody has put value and worth upon. Now, a treasure to you may not be a treasure to me. For example, some people collect baseball cards. Some people have baseball cards galore. Some people collect coins, and those coins are valuable to them. Well, for me, collecting baseball cards is a non-issue. Collecting coins is a non-issue. But it's different things to different persons. Jesus didn't just say only money, but treasure. In other words, something that you esteem that is significant, that is important to you. Some people, it's a car, or it's a motorcycle, or it's could even be a bicycle. And the point is simply this: there are all types of things that men and women desire while living on this earth. Some women desire a home, and there's nothing wrong with desiring a home, but here's what they'll do. They'll take all of their money, all of their God-given resources, and they'll pour it into that house and into that what they call a home. They'll not honor the Lord with the money. They'll not give the Lord what is due him. And I'm talking about a saved woman. And so, you know, the things in this world are not intrinsically bad, but the Bible makes it very clear. It's the heart's pull. And Jesus says three particular things in this passage about earthly treasure that you and I really, really, really need to hear carefully. First and foremost, Jesus makes it very clear that you're not to lay up for yourselves possessions on this earth. Now, we don't listen to that, because think about it a moment. How many people do you know that they've amassed a great wealth and then they die and it's got to be, you know, divided to a whole lot of people? Now, listen to what Jesus says, and I want you to listen to his words. Lay not up for yourselves treasure upon earth. Simple put. In other words, Jesus said, there is no answer you can give the sovereign of the universe for laying up for yourselves treasure upon this earth. Sadly, so many people lay up treasure and it's there and it's going to be theirs and nobody's going to touch it. Nobody's going to get it. And then all of a sudden they die at a young age. Yeah, it's amazing how many people you'll listen to that die prematurely. It's as though the Lord says, I want you to understand there's 1,000 ways you can leave this world without even realizing, giving it a whole lot of thought. For example, Charlotte was sharing just the other day, she was reading or listening. These boys were on a hiking expedition, and they were sleeping out under the stars, and there was under a cliff. And next morning, one of the boys woke up, and he looked over at a friend of his, and right beside him was a rock. And his buddy had been hit in the head with the rock, and the rock was laying there. Come to find out, a piece of the cliff had come off and hit that boy while he was asleep, knocked him unconscious, and he was taken to the hospital. At the hospital, he died. He didn't live to regain consciousness. There are 1,000 ways we can leave this world, and it's as though the Lord says to us when we hear something, you need to be mindful, you're temporary on this earth. That's one of the reasons Jesus tells us not to lay up treasure, because you are temporary here on this earth. And so he says, don't lay up for yourselves treasure. Why? Because you're going to get old, you're going to get older, and whoever, you know, if you're not going to live for all of eternity here, and it's going to pass away. So one of the things that you and I can do, we can invest it. Well, how do you invest it? I'm not talking about stocks and bonds, but invest it in people. Invest it in people's lives. Be a blessing to somebody who don't have anything. Be a blessing. You know, sometimes we want to, not only, we want full details of somebody that just wants $10 from us. And but Jesus said, you're not to lay up treasure. Second of all earthly riches are completely corruptible. You know, something tragic happens when we realize that everything on this earth is corruptible, decayable, and deteriorates or can be stolen. Everything on this earth has the seed of corruption on it, and corrosion and rust. You know, you buy a new car and you pay $50,000 for it. 10 years, it's worth $5,000. And you start looking around the wheel wells, it's starting to rust. Why? Because that's simply the reality of this decaying world. Jesus is saying, I am cautioning you, my disciples, not to let riches get the better of your life and living. You know, one of the reasons why God commands us to tithe, number one, He gives us everything, and He has a right to tell us what to do with any of it. But when you tithe, have you ever thought about it? Tithing is the greatest prevention of your money owning you. When you tithe, it keeps things in check and, you know, keeps your ownership of that money proper before the Lord. And so, you know, regardless of what it may be, everything that you and I possess has the seed of corruption in it. And so Jesus made it very clear. There's nothing on this earth that is immune from corruption, corrosion, stealing, theft, whatever it may be. And so Jesus is commanding His disciples. Now, I want you to listen to me real carefully. Jesus never gives suggestions. There is a world of difference when it comes to understanding that the words of Jesus are command words. It is the sovereign of the universe who is commanding His disciples who follow Him, because whenever God gives a command, He will call for accountability to those He has given the command to. Because you are a son or a daughter of God, if you're a child of God, and you have an obligation to your sovereign and to your Lord. And so, third of all, He says all treasures are insecure. You know, we hear about it from time to time, but probably one of the best recent examples, the Bernie Madoff Ponzi scheme is a prime example of how quickly you can lose money. Warren Buffett, I believe it was Warren Buffett and Bill Gates, both of them lost better than $40 million combined to Warren Buffett. Of course, that was no problem. They gained it back in about probably 2 or 3 days. But, you know, the Bible makes it very clear that it's insecure. You can't say how much you'll have by the end of the week. On my phone, I've got a little app that it brings up the stock market. Some days I'm feeling good. Some days I'm not feeling near as good. Some days I'm feeling better. Some days I'm not feeling it. Why? Because the stock market is like a roller coaster, up and down, up and down, up and down. Why? Because everything is insecure. And Jesus is telling his disciples, he said, I want to give you a warning. I want you to understand that all the earthly treasures you've got, they're insecure. The Bible says in Proverbs, money takes wings like eagles and flies away. And that's really true. You can do your best to hold on to money, and somehow something happens and you've got to pay this, or you've got to pay some bill, or you got to pay some medical expense. And so, you know, Jesus said, you know, it can, you know, they're material, they're corruptible, they're insecure. And Paul put it this way. You know, we came into this world with nothing, and we can take nothing out. When he says in 1 Peter 6:7, we brought nothing into this world, and it's certain we can carry nothing out. Listen to that phrase. You can carry not one thing out of this world. But you know, we really don't believe it much, do we? Now, but we think it's not going to happen soon. But to live life investing, you know, in the here and now, is equivalent to this. What if I told you that I took my entire life savings, all my retirement, I sold my house, I sold my truck, I sold my cars, and Charlotte and I are taking a week's vacation with all that money? You would say, Pastor, you are an absolute nut. You may not say that, you would think that. But let me ask you a question. Is there any difference between that and a person who will live 70, 80, 90 years of his life and not be rich toward God? He will be rich toward things he'll have, and then at death, he is separated from everything he has ever owned or she has ever owned, and they're broke toward God. You say, well, everybody's going to get the same thing in heaven. That is a foolish, foolish statement. Don't you dare think for one moment everybody in heaven gets the same thing. If you say that, prove it by the word of God, and you cannot. Not everybody in heaven gets the same thing, because Paul said, I fought a good fight, I finished my course, I've kept the faith. So he says, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. So the Bible says there's earthly treasure. Now, one reason that Jesus gives not to lay up here, just real simply, because we can be snatched from this earth in just a moment's time. Stop and think about this for a moment. If you by chance have a blood clot in close or around your heart, at the rate of the speed that blood travels in your body, there could be a possibility that one or more of us could be dead before the services are over tonight. Why? Because we wouldn't have time to get to the hospital. People have found that out. Talked to somebody not too long ago, and a family member that's getting ready to be dismissed from the hospital. Everything was going good. And all of a sudden, in the last moment, she was 38 years of age. A blood clot traveled to her heart, and just like that, she was dead. You and I don't know, and we can be gone in a moment's time. So Jesus said, don't lay up for yourselves treasure on earth. Second of all, Jesus declares there's heavenly treasure. You know, do you ever stop to think if you're investing in those things that really count? Now, we don't want to evaluate ourselves real carefully, so we don't. We pretend. We play act. We act like it's not going to matter. Folks, it's going to matter. You and I are going to stand before the Lord Jesus, and he is going to evaluate whether we did or did not have heavenly treasure. And he's going to know. And you see, there's those things that we can carry into eternity. You can't carry houses. You can't carry land. You can't carry, and there's nothing wrong with those. And there's nothing wrong with having them as long as you keep perspective and keep priority. Don't you hear me say that if you've got houses and land that you're not going to, no, it depends on where is your heart. And so Jesus makes it very clear that there are going to be heavenly riches. Well, what are some of those things that the Lord esteems? What are those riches that the Lord God honors and endorses? Now, remember, our King is the sovereign of the universe. He is holy, pure, and blameless. He is not like any political leader that we know. He's not like any government leader that we know. He is the sovereign of the universe. Always has been, is, and always will be. Case is closed. Nobody will ever defy the sovereign of the universe. They can try, but they will never win. So what are those things that matter for time and eternity? Well, first of all, a blameless life. Paul made it very clear that his life was a blameless life. And he encouraged Timothy to live a blameless life. Why? Because a blameless life is significant before God. You know, when you're living a blameless life, you're living a life conscious and aware that your Lord is watching. And, you know, it's a life devoted to the Lord. Second of all, a holy life. Now, what's a holy life? A holy life is a life lived separate from the world. It is saddening and it is sickening and nauseating to the Lord God. How many people want to be Christians and they want to have the world with as well? You were never called by God to live and act and walk like the world. That's why you are set apart. You are sanctified, and that's what the word sanctified, holy, means. The word holy means set apart. You are holy unto the Lord. And that's why when the Lord looks at your holy life, it's a fragrant offering. Let me give you an example. When your children are doing the right thing and walking the right way and obeying the Lord and doing what they ought to be doing and serving, and doesn't that please you? You know, you're excited. I've never had a parent come to me and say, "Pastor, I just got to tell you, my son's drinking, he's getting drunk, and I'm just tickled to death." No. You're excited when they're wanting to walk right and do the right thing. We're all going to bobble, but that is pleasing. It's a pleasing aroma to a mom or to a dad. It's pleasing when your children are trying to make an impact in this wicked world. It's a pleasing aroma to your life, and it's a pleasing aroma to your heavenly Father when you are serious. Now, notice I didn't say casual about it, but you're serious about intentionally walking a holy, separated life in the middle of people that could care less if you walk a holy or blameless life. You know what? Half the world could have cared less about Paul the Apostle. Half the world could have cared less about his godly life. You know what? He didn't care about that. He didn't worry about that. And you see, it's a life that truly becomes like Christ. Now, think about this. We call ourselves, when we get saved, we call ourselves what? Christians. Let me ask you a question. Are you ashamed to be a Christian? You ought not be. And your life ought to be. Well, if you and I are Christians, doesn't it stand to reason that we should be doing what Christ did? Now, I don't necessarily mean that you go out and can perform miracles and part waters and all that. But if you look in Scripture, Jesus was busy reaching, teaching, ministering to people. He was always involved in people's lives, making a difference. Sometimes Christians get saved and they just sort of isolate themselves from the world. Well, you know what? I don't want to have anything to do. You're not saved to live at home, isolated from the world. You're saved to be an impact to the ungodly, wicked world that we live in. And you see, a life that's truly becoming Christ-like is a life that's willing to get involved. Let me give you an example. A life that's truly Christ-like, if you've got time on your hands and the Lord's spoken to your spirit, will say, "Yes, I'll get involved in a school system. I'll get involved. I've got some time on my hands. I can read to some of those kids because I want to make a difference. Because I want to make an impact." And you see, it's real easy to sit at home, read your Bible, come to church on Wednesday night, go home, sit and read your Bible, and just do chores around the house. But everywhere Jesus went, he was reaching, teaching, and ministering. And you see, a life that truly becomes like Christ. And that's where Paul was. He could die, and he said, I've done what the Lord told me to do. Fourth, a life that's filled with love and forgiveness and overflowing compassion. Now, there's some people that aren't easy to love, aren't there? Is it always easy for you to love everybody in your family and your acquaintances and people in your circle? Ever have anybody in your family that's hard to love? You know, you struggle loving some people. And I was pulling in to the hospital today, and there's this passage of scripture that just came across my mind. And I don't know why it came across right, but it's just simple verse. As much as within you is, live peaceably with all men. Now, let me ask you a question. Don't you think when the Lord evaluates your life, he's going to look, other people tried to make it difficult, but you as a person of peace, you as a person of compassion, you as a person of forgiveness, you bit your tongue a few times and bit your arm a few times, you know, but you know what? You didn't do that because you know, sometimes you'd like to haul off, wouldn't you? Now, in the flesh, wouldn't we? In the flesh, wouldn't you like to haul off and just, let me ask you a question. A Christian backs up and says, that doesn't honor my Father. That doesn't please my Lord. And see, a lot of people say, well, you're a wimp. No, it's a whole lot easier to say something than to keep your mouth shut, isn't it? You know, you want to get that out. But that's why. And that's what Jesus said. You know, do you think that you're not going to be checked? Listen, and some of you are saying, well, I do my best to live at peace with God's going to honor that. There's going to be a day when, in a sense, you're going to stand on the stage like some of the Olympians are, and it's not going to be for 5 years that you've trained. You have been a Christian for 65, 75 years, and the Father is going to reward you through Jesus Christ because you're going to be rewarded for a faithful life because you didn't get carried away with the riches of this life. You didn't get carried away with the stuff in this world. It was always on your mind to bring honor to the Father. That's the life that the Father rewards and rewards favorably with rank and position in the new kingdom. And so Jesus said that, you know, as a matter of fact, we need to understand three things about heavenly riches. We can lay them up. In other words, godly living is powerful because it's to God. Godly living is because you're laying something up. Listen to what Paul said. He's getting ready. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. Notice he doesn't say my life is over. Notice he doesn't say I've lost it all. He said there is laid up for me. There is laid up for me. A crown of righteousness. And folks, that is not a symbolic crown. It is as literal and visible as you could ever imagine a literal crown being. I've had the privilege years ago to see the Hope Diamond. If you've ever had the chance to see the Hope Diamond, you'll never forget it. I was just a kid and I saw the Hope Diamond. Paul said there is a crown of righteousness. It's not made by human hands. Paul said it is designed, and he said it's laid up for me and to everyone that loves his appearing. Well, second of all, riches, heavenly riches are not corruptible. In other words, whatever you have done, invested your life in down here for the glory of God, it's going on. I think about what I heard a man say one time. Had a Cadillac, and he wanted, when he retired, to buy a Cadillac. He bought a Cadillac at retirement, and he said he started feeling a little bit guilty about having a Cadillac when he saw other people in church that really didn't have a means of transportation to get any place. Then it came to him, chauffeur service. So what he did, he said, Pastor, I want to make my Cadillac available for anybody in the church. If they have a doctor's appointment, if they have someplace they need to go, doesn't matter where it is, my Cadillac is available. And he had a wonderful ministry. People get out of that car and that Cadillac, wow, you've got your own chauffeur. Why? Because he was wanting to minister. And so Paul makes it very clear in Scripture, or Jesus makes it very clear that heavenly riches are eternal. Well, look at number two. Jesus not only warns that there are two types of riches, but there are two types of hearts. Now, Jesus made it abundantly clear, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Now, he's not necessarily talking about that physical, you know, pulsating, pumping unit that we call the heart. He's talking about the heart of affection. Have you ever wondered why we can't do more in the Lord's work? Stop and think about it for a moment. I don't want to hurt your feelings, but I just want to give you an example. We, in our missions offering, and I'm proud of what we do in our missions offering, but consider, we as a church family, for Eliza Broadus, Annie Armstrong, Lottie Moon, each of those will raise about $1,000. A church of over 100 people will raise $1,000. A church of over 100 people will raise $1,000. Do the math. How much is that per person? $10. We don't have a bit of problem buying a $500 TV for ourselves, a $1,000 TV for ourselves. Shows us where our priorities are a lot of times. And Jesus makes it clear that you and I have a heart. We have an affection system. And he said there's a good heart. You know, when a person focuses on God, the things of God, the ways of God, the Bible says, you know, his heart is full of light. By the way, what would you say about your heart? Now, please don't misunderstand me. I'm not trying to be picky, but I'm trying to prepare us all for judgment because it's coming. Your heart will be evaluated. And we will be utterly amazed and probably utterly shocked when we really see ourselves in the presence of the Lord. And you see, when a person focuses on the things of this earth, amassing wealth, the Bible says he's going to lose. It is totally possible to be saved, to go to heaven, and to have nothing. Did you hear me? It is totally possible to be saved, go to heaven, and have nothing. Let me just give you an example. Turn to 1 Corinthians, I believe. It's chapter 3. Paul is talking to the Corinthians, and he's reminding them how significant it is for their lives to be significant before the Lord Jesus, to matter, to make a difference. In verse 11, he said, "For other foundation can no man lay than is laid, which is Christ Jesus. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest." And that word manifest simply means known. "For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by" what? "Fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is." Listen carefully in verse 14. "If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward." But verse 15. Now, remember, Paul is talking to Christians. He's not talking to lost people at all. This is a letter addressed to the saints of God. "If a man," what man, Paul? And you can say a saint, if a believer, "if a man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. He himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire." Well, Paul's just talking about being saved, and that fire is representative of lost people. No, it's not. He's talking about a person who's saved, but they're so carnally minded that they don't think about God. They don't think about the kingdom. They don't think about, because sometimes we think ignorance is bliss. Well, you know, I just don't know a whole lot about the Word of God. Why not? You've lived on this earth for 50, 60, 70, 80, 90 years, and you don't know the Word of God? Why? Person will read the paper every day of their life, but they'll never read a chapter in the Word of God. Jesus makes it clear. He says there are two kinds of heart. First of all, there is that good heart that is full, that thinks about the Word of God, that thinks about the things of God. and a healthy life, a healthy heart, they realize that they're a child of God, and they live that way. You're not to live like you belong to this earth. You're to live as though that you really belong to heaven and to God, because you do. And so, second of all, he seeks treasures that are eternal. Well, what are eternal? Whatever God says. A blameless life, as I mentioned, a pure life, a devoted life, a holy life, a life of surrender, a life of giving. If you want to look at the best devoted life apart from Jesus Christ, look at the Apostle Paul. Well, he was an apostle. Well, yes, he was an apostle, but he was a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you see, he said, the things which are seen are temporal. In other words, if you want to get a good picture of what's going to happen to the things of this world, go back to the book of Isaiah chapter 38. Read what's getting ready to happen, what's going to happen to the things of this world. It's going to burn up. And if a person has amassed his life in this world, he's going to lose. He said, but the things of God, the things which are not seen are eternal. And so, only those things that God endorses and that we do for the Lord God are eternal. Now, and sometimes here's what happens. We just get really, really, really taken back at, well, I'm more dedicated than my neighbor over here. But in closing, let me ask you this. Would you want to stand where your neighbor stands in the judgment? You see, Jesus says, there's a good heart, and then he said, there's a bad heart. A bad heart, stuff, things, here and now. What I want, when I want, the way I want it. And you see, in the last part of verse 24, Jesus makes it clear, you are not serving two masters. There is one master that is dominating your life. It is the Lord God Almighty that is dominating your life, your mind, your thinking, your heart, or it is money. There are no options. There are no middle ground. Jesus himself says, you can't serve God in money. Why does the church not make more of an impact? And I'm not talking about ours, but I'm talking about worldwide. Because we just love our money. We love our stuff. We love our things. But let me just ask this question in closing. Do you think that God will bypass your life and my life in the judgment and overlook us? Not on your life. We must all give account. And I picture it something like this. The Lord Jesus Christ has called people into accountability, and it's as though he says from heaven, Benny Bush, step up. And at his decree, I step up, and I look at him face to face. And he reviews the totality of my life. And I give account of everything that I have invested in, whether temporary or eternal. It's not based on salvation. That's already done. But what I'm rewarded for all of eternity is based on what I've done, how I've operated, how I've walked, in this one single solitary life. When Jesus calls your name, what will he say? Father, you remind us that we give an account. And you give us warning, and that's not to scare us, but we're all leaving here. We're all passing through this realm. And Father, someday we give account. Our name is called, and we either receive or miss reward based on where our heart was. Father, no one can make us. Even you won't make us. But the facts are eternal, and they stand. What we do with our heart, what we do with our treasure, matters for eternity. Thank you for speaking to our spirit. In Jesus we pray. Amen.